you, King of Glory. King of Glory, fill this place. I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. Oh, friends, that should be the cry of our heart each and every day. Hallelujah. Amen. When you taste and see that the Lord is good, you just can't get enough. You want more. You want more of what He has for you. I just want to be with you, Lord. I just want to be where you are, Lord. Lord, I just ask you to come and dwell big on the inside of each and every one of us here tonight. Oh God, come and tabernacle with your people here tonight. Hallelujah. Come and live on the altar of our hearts. Come and show yourself strong to this people here tonight. Oh Lord, we cry out to you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing yourself here tonight. Come and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, you may be seated. Well, welcome everyone to Sunday evening live at New Freedom Church. It's so good to be with you, and it's such an honor to be able to bring the word tonight. My name is Pastor Tim, and I know Pastor David and Pastor Lacey send you their best and send their greetings to those online. So welcome everyone online. So the title of my message tonight is I Am In You, I Am Through You. Now this message it all started back when I was in Bible college. And we had a homiletics class, and we had to prepare a sermon for the homiletics class. And so homiletics is the art of ministering, or the art of preaching. And so with that, we had to come up with a three-part sermon, and we had to have three main points. And we had between 10 and 15 minutes to give this sermon. And so, you know, you had to be on time. You had to be within that time frame. They didn't want you taking up the whole class or anything. People thinking that they were a revivalist still in Bible college. But anyway, they kept us under wraps. And but I remember just praying about, Lord, what do you have for me to minister on? And I was drawing a blank. Nothing was coming. And so we had to turn in a preliminary draft. We had to turn in an outline. And I had about 5 days left to do that. And so I was getting a little desperate. I'm like, Lord, what am I supposed to minister on? So I said, well, I'm going to fast. So I started fasting and just started pressing in. And I was like, Lord, what do you have for me to minister on? And I remember it was the third day into the fast. I was driving home from school, and I had a pretty long drive, about a 45-minute drive. And just as plain as day, and I can even tell you the spot on the road where I was. It was on a sharp turn. It was an S-turn there. And I heard, I am in you. And I was like, ooh, okay, I am in you. And so then I started studying it out. I started studying about I am. And the other night in our Bible study, Brother Mike was talking about I am. And it started to jog my memory about that sermon that I had preached back then. And I was like, huh, interesting, I am. And so I started looking into I am again. And so I was actually, you know, like one morning this week, I woke up with that song, I Am, by Eddie James. And I was like, okay, Lord, so we're moving in the I am direction here. And then I looked for that sermon, couldn't find it anywhere, still haven't found it, but that's okay. And then last night, I had a sermon pretty well written out and came across a message on YouTube, and I just felt to watch that message. And the guy that was preaching it, his name is Prophet Miles Kilby, a young guy, like Christy said, he was monotone. But what was amazing was most of the scriptures that were in my message was in his message, and that's why I kept watching. I was like, this is interesting. And he had a revelation that really spoke to me. And he talked about the I am in you being a habitation. Or in other words, the Lord abiding in you. But then he talked about the I am through you comes from visitation. And so that comes out of encounters that you have with the Lord. And so I was like, oh, this is interesting. Habitation and visitation. Okay, Lord, I think I'm getting the message here. See, the church is great at the habitation part. And I'm not talking just about New Freedom Church. I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ in general. They're great about the habitation. They're great about praying. They're great about reading their Bible. But when it comes to allowing the Lord to minister through you, when it comes to pressing in to receive that touch from heaven, I mean, many people have received touches from heaven in years gone by. But the Bible says His mercies are new every day. And so when I think about that, I believe the Lord has a visitation for you as often as you want it, as often as you press in for it, as often as you desire it. The Bible says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And so I started realizing that when I got hungry for God, when I pressed into God, and when I went after God with my whole heart and had a head-on collision with Him, and I had an encounter with God, it was something that set me on fire. It was something that marked me for the rest of my life. It was something that gave me the desire to go after God even more, even greater. It was something that set me on fire. It set me on a course to go after people, to go after souls with my whole heart. And I'm here to tell you that God has that for each and every one of you, if you desire it. There's always more to God. You can never exhaust His supply. He has greater touches for you. He has greater things in store for us, folks. And so I am confident that in these last days, God wants to touch His people. He wants to visit His children. He wants to encounter His children. He wants to mark His children. And it is for a purpose. It is for us to go outside the four walls of the church. It is for us to see souls come into the kingdom. It is for this final harvest of souls to be wrapped up. The Bible says, look unto the fields, for they are white unto harvest. And then it says, to pray, Lord, to send laborers into the harvest. And I'm here to tell us that we need both the habitation and the visitation. Because both of those increase the other. They both have a positive effect on the other. It's not one or the other. It is both. And it is an ongoing process. Be ye being filled by the Holy Spirit is what the Bible says. And so I'm here to share some scriptures with you tonight that show some types and shadows in the Old Testament of this, and then also some scriptures from the New Testament that talk about having an encounter with God, but also walking with the Lord, also abiding in the Lord. So let's talk about I am. Let's define I am. In Exodus chapter 3, 13 through 14, most of these scriptures will be up on the screen. As typical for me, I have a boatload of scriptures. And so most of them will be on the screen, but if you're welcome to look them up in your Bible or follow along however you want. Exodus 3, 13 through 14, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So you can see here that Moses was on the backside of the desert. He was actually out tending his father-in-law's sheep. And he saw a burning bush. And when he approached that burning bush, the Lord God spoke out of that burning bush to him. And that's the first place where we see that God identifies himself as I am who I am. Or I am has sent me to you. Now, let's just stop right there. Who is I am to you? We sang about I am. Those songs were picked because I knew where we were going, I thought. But who is I am to you? Is he your everything? Is he all that you need? When I think of the words I am, it is all encompassing. Our human minds can't even wrap our brains around it, to be honest. Or I can, at least. It is those two words, I am, encompass so many things. More than I could even describe. Just like the Bible says, if all the things that I am did were written down, the world could not contain the books of that. It's just endless. It's never ending. It's all good. It's only good. It's all sufficient. It's everything we need. I am. Now, another place where we see the words I am is in John 8:58. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. This was a scripture that Brother Mike shared with us the other night. And so you can see that Jesus calls himself, I am. Now, the next scripture that I want to go to is in 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So I like to say then, if these three are one, then these three are I am. If Jesus is I am, and he's a part of the Father and the Holy Spirit, then they're all I am. They're all attributes of I am. They're all parts of I am. Just like we talked about the other night about the example of the egg. There's three parts to the egg, and they all make up the egg. This is, you know, a Trinity discussion. We're not going to get into that deep here tonight. But as you can see, if these three are one, then they are all I am. So now I just want to share a few characteristics of I am. Now this list is not all inclusive by any means. It's interesting. It's in the book of John, Jesus, in eight different places, and probably more, but there's eight distinct places where Jesus says, I am such and such. And I want to share those with you. Because the Bible tells us, or Jesus said in John 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And so by looking at Jesus and what his characteristics are and what his attributes are, we see the heart of the Father. We see the heart of I am. So we're going to go through these kind of quickly. But in John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 8:12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 10:7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. John 10:11 goes along with John 10:7. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. See, back in the time of Jesus, the sheep were kept in a sheepfold at night. The sheepfold had four walls. It had a door. But the shepherd slept in the door to protect the sheep, to keep the sheep in. And then when it was time for the sheep to go out, the shepherd would lead them out. But that's why the shepherd, or he's called the door of protection. John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. There's that word abide, habitation, being joined together with him. And John 14:26, this is attributes of the Holy Spirit. But again, the Holy Spirit is I am, is a part of I am. So I wanted to read this out of the Amplified Classic. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Now that's Jesus speaking there. Because as long as Jesus was on the earth, the Holy Spirit was not given. But once Jesus was taken up, that's why his disciples had to tarry in Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so these were the attributes of the Holy Spirit, how that he was going to lead them, how he was going to guide them, how he was going to lead them into all truth. There's many other characteristics of I Am. We know that God is all powerful. We know that God is all knowing. And we know that he is present everywhere. There's fancy terms for that, omniscient and all those, but I can't even recall all of them right now. But anyway, the simple language is that God is everywhere. He's all powerful and he knows all things. So as we're talking about habitation and visitation of I Am, and we're going to look at some places in the Old Testament about habitation and visitation. But we know that with habitation, this all started in the Garden of Eden. How that the Lord wanted to dwell with his people. He wanted to commune with Adam and Eve. He wanted to walk and talk with them in the cool of the evening. And that was all going well until sin came into the camp and caused a separation. Because, see, God cannot be a part of sin. He can have no part with sin. But that was the plan for the Garden of Eden. But see, Jesus came to remove that sin, to remove that barrier, so that we can come back to God, so that we can come back and commune with him, that we can come back into rightful fellowship with him, with I Am. So let's talk about some examples of habitation or some scriptures on habitation from the Old Testament. We're going to start in Exodus 13, 21 through 22. Exodus 13, 21 through 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So you can see that the Lord wanted to be with his people. He wanted to guide his people. This is a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. The glory cloud. The pillar of fire. See, our God is a consuming fire. The Bible says in Revelation that Jesus has eyes that are of flaming fire. So you can see here from this verse that God wanted to be with his people. He wanted to dwell with his people. He wanted to guide his people. And in Exodus 14, 19, this confirms the exact same thing I just said. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. In that passage in Exodus 14, that's actually when Pharaoh's army was coming after the children of Israel to overtake them. And it says the angel of God went from before the camp to behind the camp to separate Israel from their enemies. He put up a hedge of protection around his people. A wall of fire. Now, if you pay attention there, and the angel of God, angel is uppercase. So just pay attention to that. Isaiah 41:10 tells us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." See, God is for us. He's not against us. He wants what's best for us. So you can see that from the children of Israel, that God wanted to dwell with his people. He wanted to be a part of his people. He wanted to be worshipped by his people. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He gave the law, he gave the commandments to help keep his people on track, to help keep them in line, to help them know right from wrong. And he gave promises that if they would obey the commandments, if you read in Deuteronomy 28, all the blessings that would be upon them. But if they separated themselves from God, if they went after other gods to serve them, and if they allowed sin into the camp, then you read of all the curses. And there's about 14 verses of blessings, and there's probably close to 50 verses of the curses. So you do not want to be on God's bad side. But he doesn't want that either. He wants to bless his people. He wants to honor his people. He wants to treat you as royalty. Now I want to go over a couple of visitations in the Old Testament. And these encounters with God were encounters that marked these people, that marked these men of God. These were encounters that set them on a course to fulfill the call of God on their lives. These were encounters that launched them into their ministry, let's say. And the first one we've already kind of talked about, but that's in Exodus 3, 1 through 6, and this is Moses. "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him." Now I've got to stop right there. Just, you see, angel of the Lord is capitalized again. Now theologians use a big word for this, but they use the word theophany or Christophany. And what that means is that this is an appearance in physical form, God appearing in physical form. Or actually, many believe that this is Jesus appearing in physical form. And when it says angel, and angel is capitalized, that typically is referring to appearances of Jesus in the Old Testament. So that's where the word Christophany comes from. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Moreover,' he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." And then if we go back and read Exodus 3, 13 and 14. "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So you can see that God in this fire was I am. And you can see that Moses was launched into the plans and purposes that God had for him because of this encounter, because of this burning bush experience. And so that's why having encounters with God is so important, because it launches you, or it marks you, or it sets you on a course to fulfill the plans and purposes that God has for you. See, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house. He was well educated. He had everything. But then he saw the taskmasters persecuting his people. And one day, Moses saw a taskmaster beating one of his fellow brethren. And Moses killed the man. He killed that taskmaster. He killed that Egyptian. But then he realized that word had gotten out, and then Moses went and hid. He ran from Pharaoh. He went and hid for 40 years on the backside of the desert. He was leading the sheep. He was pasturing the sheep. And so you can be in desert seasons. You might even be pastoring the sheep. You might even be doing what you think is right. But I'm believing that for each and every one of us, God is going to show up in a burning bush experience. And it's going to set us ablaze for Him. It's going to launch us into the plans and purposes that He has for us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now in Joshua 5, 13 through 15, this is another visitation of I am in the Old Testament. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. So you can see in this passage that commander of the army of the Lord is capitalized. Again, another expression of Jesus in the Old Testament. And it's interesting to me that this is the end of chapter 5, and right as they go into chapter 6 is when they start marching around the walls of Jericho. So Joshua has this encounter. And Joshua had many other encounters, because the Bible even says that Joshua would stay in the tent of meeting while Moses went out among the people, and Joshua would fellowship with the Lord. So he had encountered the Lord previously. He had encountered I Am previously. But I believe that this encounter marked him again. This encounter set him, in other words, it gave him the boldness to know that what he was about to do was going to prosper. That marching around Jericho, that them walls were going to come down. Hallelujah. And so those encounters that the Lord has for you, they help to give you confidence in what He wants to do for you. They help give you confidence that He is for you and not against you. They help give you confidence that what you're dealing with is going to be broken in Jesus' name. That if there's walls that are up that seem like they're impossible to get over, that encounter that He's got for you is going to break those walls down. And you know that when those walls came down, they didn't come in a pile. The Bible says they went flat, completely destroyed. And that's what he has for you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In both of these encounters with Moses and with Joshua, you can see that he told, that I am told them, take your sandals off your foot because the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. And I just know that there are encounters coming for us. I mean, I can tell you the encounters I have had. I can tell you the places that they happened. I know that the first encounter that I had with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire was in the back of the River Church. And I can tell you exactly where it happened. To me, that is holy ground there. Because I know what the Lord did for me that day. I always say that there was an outline of a dead man on the floor. And up came a man alive for God. A man committed to whatever he had for me. But he has many of those encounters for us. It's not just a one-time thing 30 years ago when we ride off that one encounter. His mercies are new every day. He set manna down every day for his children. He wants to do that for us. He wants to keep filling us to overflowing. As I said before, we are vessels fit for the Master's use. He wants to fill your vessel up. And if you think about your vessel being filled up, when it gets to the top, it starts running over. It starts spilling out onto the saucer. It starts running onto the table. It starts running into people's laps. It starts getting on other people. Hallelujah. And that's what he has. It's an overflow. It's a breakthrough. It's greater, folks, I'm telling you. It's greater, I'm here to tell you. It's greater. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel like I've been preaching the same message for 5 years since I've been back. But I'm telling you, it's greater in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And it's nothing against any of you. It's just, that's what the Lord has had me do. It's okay. But I'm here to tell you that He has encounters for you. He wants to mark you. He wants to love on you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So the next visitation that I want to talk about, the next encounter, is with Gideon. In Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. Now the angel of the Lord, again, you can see the angel of the Lord is capitalized, came and sat under the terebinth tree which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Now that's a funny statement there, because Gideon is hiding here at this wine press, scared out of his wits. But see, the Lord doesn't see us the way we see ourselves. Amen. See, the Lord, when the Lord looks at you, He knows the plans and purposes that He has for you. He knows the purposes that He's had for you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Hallelujah. But he says to Gideon, who was a scaredy cat at the time, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And so, see, the Lord will take the things that appear foolish to most people, and He will use those things for His glory. The people that seem to be the least is the ones that He will use the most. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so see, the Lord is saying to you here tonight, the Lord is with you, you mighty man and woman of valor. You have to put yourself in these stories. See, God is no respecter of persons. What He does for one, He'll do for another. The Lord is with you, you mighty people of valor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And again, it talks about the angel of the Lord in Judges 6, 20 through 22. And here it calls him the angel of God. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth," because Gideon had wanted to go get an offering for the angel of the Lord. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "At last, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." See, God wants to encounter us face to face encounters. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Again, you can see that fire was involved in this exchange. And an offering was involved here as well. So many times in the Old Testament, before the glory of the Lord showed up, there was an offering that was given. There was something that was laid on the altar. And then fire came down and consumed whatever was laid on the altar. And then the glory of the Lord showed up. Hallelujah. See, he wants you to be willing to lay yourself on the altar here tonight. And then he wants to send his fire to you. Fire burns out what is not of him. But fire also ignites and launches and sets us on the course that he has for us. Thank you, Lord. The problem, you know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 that we are to present ourselves living sacrifices. But I remember my professor in Bible college said the problem with living sacrifices is they're always crawling off the altar. And so we have to be willing to place everything on the altar and say, "God, not my will, but your will be done." Are you willing to do that here tonight? Hallelujah. Now I want to share some verses with you about habitation in the New Testament. Some of these verses you actually heard this morning. The first one is Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." But Christ lives in me. That's the habitation that we've been talking about. That's the abiding in him and him in you. Colossians 1:27, Pastor David shared this one this morning. "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Or you could say, "I am in you, the hope of glory." And this scripture, 1 John 4:4, is quoted a lot. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." See, the Lord wants us to take our rightful places in knowing who we are in him. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want to talk to you about some visitations in the New Testament. And these visitations come through these verses. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So I want to read two verses to you, Matthew 3:11 and Luke 3:16. This is John the Baptist speaking in Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. And then Luke 3:16, John answers, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. See, a lot of people miss out on the and fire. Hallelujah. And I'm not here trying to condemn, but Miles Kilby, who was preaching last night, he said that many in the church get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they don't allow the fire of God to come in and clean them out, to purify them. So they have the power, but they're not pure. And see, God is looking for a pure and spotless bride in these last days. And that's where the fire of God is so important. That's where we have to embrace the fire of God. We have to allow the fire of God to come in and do a work in us. Do a work in us so he can do a pure work through us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So you can see that both of those verses say the same thing. And so if there's two verses that say the same thing, it must be important. Now I love this verse. This is John 18:4-8. And this is about having a visitation. And sometimes people have visitations that they're not even looking for. But I can tell you that in this era of grace, when the blood of Jesus Christ has been laid on the mercy seat, that we can press in for visitations. Because Jesus has paid the price to allow us to experience His glory, to experience the fullness of I Am. But here, some people had a visitation from I Am that they weren't even expecting. And this is John 18:4-8. And this, I'm going to read it out of the Jubilee version. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them. And this was actually Judas Iscariot, his betrayer, and the guards. Essentially, a small army was coming to take Jesus and to take him before the high priest, and then eventually before Pontius Pilate. So let's start over. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am. And Judas also, who betrayed him, stood with them. And when he said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go away. So I love that scripture right there. Because when Jesus released the power of I am, it caused the guards, it caused them to hit the ground. And so when people say that falling under the power is not of God, this is one of the scriptures I like to take them to. Because if I am is in you, if I am is truly moving through you, and you lay hands on people, they might fall out under the power. And so gentlemen had an encounter that night with I Am that they weren't expecting. Now, moving on to the disciples, you know, the disciples, and I like to use Peter as an example. The disciples walked and talked with Jesus. The disciples, Jesus even sent them out two by two, and they saw signs and wonders and miracles when they were sent out two by two while Jesus was still here on the earth. But it's always amazing to me that Jesus told his disciples, the men who communed with Jesus, who communed with I Am, that they had to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power. And in Acts 1:8 it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." See, Peter, as the example, without the Holy Spirit, the Bible does a great job of showing us Peter before Holy Ghost and Peter after the Holy Ghost. Before the Holy Ghost, he denied Jesus to a little girl at a campfire. That's how Jonathan Shuttlesworth describes it. And then after the Holy Ghost, Peter is the one who gets up and preaches the Pentecostal message. The first message where 3,000 souls came into the kingdom of God. And so Peter is a great one to show you before and after. Before, always open mouth, insert foot. And then after, preaching with power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. After he had that encounter in Acts 2:1-4. "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." I'm here to tell you, do not limit the Holy Ghost. Do not shut down the Holy Ghost. He has great things in store for you. He wants to touch you. He wants to fill you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I always say that, you know, many people in the world of Christianity, they'll embrace God the Father. They'll embrace Jesus Christ the Son. But they're scared of the Holy Ghost. They don't want anything to do with the Holy Ghost. And if you think about it, when you think about the Trinity, if you take 2 out of 3, that's a 66%. I don't want 66% of what God has for me. I want 100% of what God has for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, 66 is a passing grade. It's a D. I want an A plus in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do not want to get to heaven and go into the, and they take me into the storerooms of heaven and they open the door and say, "Tim, you could have had all this if you would have only pressed in more, if you would have only gotten hungrier. If you would have only allowed me to do a work in you." I can just tell you, I'm just not going to be that person. I want everything that God has for me. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I want more. I know He's got more. I know we're going to see more in these last days. I want to be a part of it. I want to be right in the middle of it. When I was serving the devil, I did everything dumb that the devil had to offer. So why, when I'm serving the Lord, can't I be right in the middle of what He is doing and experience everything that He has to offer? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I want everything that You have for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now there's another man mentioned in Acts chapter 10. And this is Cornelius. And he was the first Gentile to receive I am, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 10, 1 through 5, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God. You can see there, angel is lowercase. So that is actually an angel of God. That's not an appearance of Jesus there. An angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. The other way that in the Bible, when an angel appears to people, most of the time people would fall down and worship the angel. Now, if the angel was a big A angel, as in the angel of the Lord, an appearance of Jesus, then they would allow the person to worship them. But if the angel was a little a, small a angel, then the angel would say, get up. I am also a servant of the Lord. So that's another way that you can tell that these appearances are appearances of I am, appearances of the Lord himself. Thank you, Lord. And so we know that from this story, Peter had a vision about eating unclean things, things that Jewish people normally would not eat. But the Lord told him three different times to arise and eat. And so when men arrived from Joppa, Peter realized that he could not call the Gentiles unclean anymore. And he realized that he had to go to the Gentiles that were in Joppa. The other thing that I think is neat about this story as far as Joppa is concerned, that's actually where Jonah was headed when he was trying to disobey the call of God. He was heading to Joppa when he was supposed to be going to Nineveh. But God still sent people to Joppa, or sent Peter to Joppa. And so we're going to read Acts 10:34. And this is what Peter said to Cornelius and all the people that were gathered in Cornelius' house when Peter got there. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Other versions say that God is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for another. And Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And jumping down to verse 43, to him, to Jesus, to I am, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Hallelujah. Thank God for Cornelius, a man who pressed into God, a man who prayed, a man who gave alms, a man who God honored, and then God sent the man of God, Peter, to them. And while Peter was preaching to them, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they were filled just like in Acts chapter 2. See, God has an encounter for you. God has an infilling of the Holy Spirit for you. My goal here tonight is to share these encounters with you, to put a hunger in you so that you desire more of God, so that you are not complacent, that you realize that He has more for you. He has more for me. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You that You place a hunger in each and every person under the sound of my voice. A hunger that only You can fill. Hallelujah. Lord, Your word declares that without faith it is impossible to please You, God. But those that come to You, Lord, must believe that You are, and that You are a rewarder of those that diligently seek You. So, Lord, I just ask that here tonight that Your people would hunger and thirst after You. And, Lord, I ask that You would meet them right where they're at. Oh, Holy Spirit, I just ask that You would visit those that are watching online, that You would even visit them in their house this very evening. If they will cry out to You, that God, You will come and fill them, that I am, You will come and fill them, that You will meet them right where they are at. Thank You, Lord. Now, the first thing that I want to do here now is give everyone that is here and everyone that is watching an opportunity to receive Jesus into your life. To allow Jesus to come into your heart so that He can come and live big on the inside of you. See, God loves each and every one of you, and He has a great plan for your life. God loves you. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He knows the plans and purposes that He has for you to give you a hope and a future. See, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also says that for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and we're all whosoever's. So I'm going to say a quick prayer for everybody here and for those that are watching online. Lord, I ask You to bless each and every person under the sound of my voice with a long and healthy life, and bless their families with long and healthy lives. Jesus, You are the I Am. And Jesus, I ask You to make Yourself real to each and every person that is listening tonight. So, friend, if you would like to receive this free gift of salvation, or if you would like to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, I pray that you would do so now. Just say this simple prayer with your heart and lips out loud. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free. Jesus, thank You that You died for me. Jesus, thank You that You're coming back again for me. Fill me with Your Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost, a hunger for the things of God, and a holy boldness to preach Your gospel. I'm saved, I'm born again, and I'm forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus, the great I Am, in my heart." Hallelujah. So, dear friend, if you said that prayer, I just encourage you to get in touch with us and let us know that you said that prayer. We have materials we'd love to share with you. We'd love to send you. So please contact us through Facebook or Instagram. So I'm here to tell you, those that are online, that is the first encounter, the first visitation that the Lord wants to have with you when you accept Jesus into your heart. But He's not done there. There's more. There's greater things. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. He wants to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. And if you want that baptism, you can ask for that just like you ask for salvation. All you have to say is, Jesus, you are the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire, and I'm asking you for that baptism right now. And if you want that, if you'll just raise your hand, I believe He'll meet you where you're at. And I command you to be filled in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then you just start letting it bubble out of your belly. You just start letting whatever's coming up out of your belly, you just start speaking that out. And that's going to be your prayer language. That's going to be tongues. He has that for each and every believer. If you will just only surrender. If you will allow the Holy Ghost to touch you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So at this point, we're going to say goodbye to all of our friends online. We love you, and we hope to see you here in the near future. Now, for those of you here, I just want to share one more scripture with you.